Good afternoon, Muskegon. You know what time it is. It's turned into your political news information show on 103.7 The Beat and M106. I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts. It is sunny outside, and it's a beautiful day. We have three guests today. We have Deborah Warren, Ryan Roberts, and Jason Kokama. Let's get to the show because we got a busy show. Hey there, partner. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, my brother. How are you today?
We are getting to the end of things, and I'm excited.
Tuesday's a big day.
Which we should let you know, we're the only radio station that does election coverage. We will be doing election coverage Tuesday until we find out who wins this thing. So catch us Tuesday. Also, let you know, Captain Melvin Burns will be at the helm next Friday and the following Friday as we take a vacation and raise money for another organization. So thank you for doing that, brother.
You're welcome.
All right, our next, our first guest. Like I said, we have three people that are on today. We're going to try to give them 15, roughly 17 minutes, stretch it as long as we can. Mm-hmm. Let's get right to it. Our first guest, let's get on. Put your hands together. Running for office, Deborah Warren, how are you doing?
Yay! Hi, I'm great. Thank you for having me. Thank you for that introduction. You got me. I'm going.
Everybody gets the introduction. How you doing? So listen, you 17 minutes. Shameless plug. Who are you?
Yes. So my name is Deborah Warren. I am running for state representative for the 87th House District, which includes all of City of Muskegon, all of City of Muskegon Heights, Roosevelt Park, North Muskegon, Muskegon Township, Laketon Township, part of Dalton Township, and part of Norton Shore. So it's a district all within Muskegon County. I am a former elected official. I was a City of Muskegon City Commissioner, so I have experience as an elected official, as well as I have been a healthcare provider in our community for the last decade. So I have been a registered dietitian, working alongside neighbors, working in the community, working for schools, nonprofits, healthcare systems, all sorts of different settings. Utilizing nutrition and working one-on-one with people to improve their quality of life and work towards their goals. So I've been able to connect with people through food, which has been, an amazing experience. I love my job as a dietitian, and I've been a big advocate of food access and improved healthcare for a long time, as well as I'm a parent of two small kids. And so I really believe that my personal and my professional experience makes me the best candidate to effectively advocate for change and on our behalf in Lansing, specifically with healthcare, education, voting rights, climate change, safe neighborhoods. Having had experience as an elected official, I know that I approach it differently than other candidates and than other elected officials do. I'm a very collaborative leader. And so it's really important to me that we work together to have that long-term change, not just Band-Aids, but actually the nitty-gritty messy stuff. And so my slogan of real change happens together, that's my campaign slogan. I take that very seriously. And I take the role of representative. So as a city commissioner, I did my homework. I always made sure I was showing up prepared to those meetings, that I had talked to other people, done my own kind of research, as well as was ready for the dialogue, was ready to how can we work together to have the best outcome for our community. So I think there's a lot that sets me apart in this race. And the only reason that I'm running at this time specifically is because, unfortunately, we have so much at stake in our state right now that I think we need somebody with that proven track record of showing up in those specific ways that I've mentioned.
Okay. Oh, wow, that was a mouthful. Okay, Pastor Melvin Burns.
You could tell people have to go to the campaign trail for a while, can't you?
Yeah.
Deborah, tell us about campaigning. What kind of comments, feedback are you getting from people as you've been campaigning?
Yeah, so let me talk about my favorite part of campaigning first, if that's okay. And that is door to door.
Okay.
Door to door, I have been knocking so many doors in our district. And when I show up at people's doors, I get some feedback that includes, thank you for stopping by and having a conversation with me. Thank you for actually knocking and taking the time to connect, you know, in this way. And sometimes we agree on a lot of stuff, and sometimes there's things we don't agree on. I believe the dialogue is important regardless. And so that has been a comment that I've received frequently. I also hear concern, no matter what part of the district I'm in, regarding healthcare, regarding education, and regarding transparency and accountability. I think that people, and I don't blame anybody. You know, I have been that person that has been and continues to be very critical of government. And so I understand when I'm standing at somebody's door as a politician, there's a level of, who are you? Why are you different? Why should we trust you? Why should we believe you, right? And so I respect that, and I can give that same commitment that I'm going to continue showing up in the community with transparency and accountability. That was a big deal for me when I was a city commissioner. I was, you know, advocating way before COVID, way before other municipalities were streaming meetings on Facebook. That was something that I really pushed for our city commission meetings, that we posted the agendas further in advance, all sorts of things for transparency and accountability. And I got accused as a city commissioner of letting people see how the sausage was made, right? That's what people talk about. But I think that public dialogue and public deliberation is really important. And so, you know, door to door, I think, is where I've gotten some of my best feedback, and you're able to kind of connect in that way. And although everybody has their own personal story, there's a lot of those trends of issues that are important to people, qualities that are important to people, and having that experience as an elected official. You know, there's people that, as a consistent comment, that are like, that have responded saying, I'm glad that you've done that at this level before you're going to go do it at the state level, so that you have that experience, you have that track record, and you know more what you're getting into, and you've practiced it. So those are some of the feedback that I've received so far.
With people dug in on both sides of the aisle, would you be able to work with the other side of the aisle?
Yeah, so I appreciate that question. And I think that's part of one of my strengths, because as a city commissioner, my background is in nonpartisan politics. And so I can think of examples, again, as a city commissioner, or even at the door knocking on this campaign, where even though we have a divided system sometimes, there is a lot of common ground. And I think sometimes that gets lost in the versus approach. And so I can think of instances where I've had the opportunity, even though it wasn't exactly how I wanted it at the end of the day, we had an opportunity to make progress because I was listening and willing to listen and work with somebody that had some different views in me, but we could agree on some common ground. And so I'm very committed to that. I've run into that at the doors. I ran into that as a city commissioner in nonpartisan politics. And I think that we have to work together, because at the end of the day, a lot of us do want some of the same things. I mean, that's not always talked about, right? Sometimes that's not the script that's being pushed out there, but we can get there, and we can get there in an ethical way by working together and having that dialogue. So I think that I'm very well suited, based on how I work with people and based on what my experience is, to work with both sides of the aisle.
That's a Mountain Birds.
Yeah. Deb, you mentioned your time as a Muskegon City Commissioner. What are some of the lessons you think you learned there that you take, you'll be able to take forward? You touched on a little bit, but can you expand on that some?
Yes. So I think one of the lessons that I learned is how important it is to speak up, how important it is to let everyone see the sausage be made, right? Mm-hmm. And how important it is to be honest. I think sometimes I watched people withhold information because they thought they knew best. They thought that if the public knew, right, it would spiral out of control. And I don't agree with that. I think that we need to be forthcoming with information. We need to be honest. We need to work together. Because when it comes to that trust building, and when it comes, if you truly believe in collaboration, I think you have to believe in honesty. If you come at it from this game of, well, if I tell one person this thing and I tell another person that, you can let yourself believe that being manipulative is the way to get the progress that you want. And I think at the end of the day, that is a losing strategy. I think we have to be honest. We have to be forthcoming. And we have to be public and transparent with that. So that was one thing that I learned. But I also learned, and I wish I would have learned it earlier, that at the end of the day, what I have is my vote. So when I didn't feel comfortable, when I felt like it was being rushed, when I wasn't being given the answers that I wanted, I wish I would have learned sooner to vote no. I wish I would have learned sooner that is, at the end of the day, really what I have is my vote. And so even though we have all of this dialogue, if I was still not being given the information I needed, or I felt like, wait, right? That happened, unfortunately, more than I would have liked, of you're put in this position where you feel like if we don't make this decision today, everything's going to crumble, right? You're put in that position. Yeah. So I wish I would have learned sooner, and I will take this lesson with me to Lansing, that it's through those votes, it's through that honesty, it's through that due diligence that you're most effective. And really taking that seriously. I also learned, if I can, I know we're on time soon, but just one more thing was that it's not about me. I learned that role as a representative, I take that very seriously. You know, I don't know what I thought about that quite honestly before I was sitting in that seat. But I learned very quickly that I am a person, an elected official, that takes the role of representative very, very seriously. I'm not just there representing Deborah Warren. I'm not. So I can't just do what I think is best. I can't just do what my first response would be. I have to talk to people. I have to listen to people. And I have to use my judgment and my you know, working with others to truly be a representative. And I think that experience will serve me very well in Lansing, because I think I saw a lot of elected officials that just take the steamroll approach. I'm going to convince you that I'm right. I'm going to convince you that I have all the best answers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to convince you that my way is the best way. And I learned about myself, that's not how I'm a leader. That's not how I'm an elected official. Mm-hmm. I have my own ideas, but I am most driven by what is going to be most impactful and effective for our community. And a lot of times that's other people's ideas, suggestions, strategies, expertise that they bring to the table. Because I know that I have my narrow things that I'm an expert on. Mm-hmm. I have to depend and work with other people on what their expertise is to be most effective, and listen and work together.
Deborah, how do you do, last question, with such a diverse district, how do you, for instance, make sure that Muskegon Heights gets their share of the pie versus Muskegon, which needs different things, versus Lakeland Township versus North Muskegon? How do you make sure that each person or city, a municipality, gets what they need?
I believe, honestly, that is with working with each municipality. I really, truly believe that when it comes to doing the conversation, having the conversation with stakeholders in each municipality, you have to prioritize that. Mm-hmm. And you have to be willing to pivot and do things differently to have a better impact. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, okay, well, we said in September, you know, we said this is what we were going to do, and I had this idea, or somebody even in the municipality had this idea. Okay, well, now 6 months later, 1 year later, right? how's it going 2 months later, right? You have to be able to check in and take that feedback really seriously with each municipality and be very intentional about it, not with all these preconceived notions of I think I know, and but really checking in and working together to say, what's our strategy going to be here? What do we want to focus on? What do we see as these top priorities? How are we going to do this? I'm the person that gets to work in between those places, right? The elected official gets to work in between those places. Mm-hmm. And then be willing to assess, pivot. I'm a big person that intention is not enough. We have to listen to what the impact is and go from there. And so prioritizing those municipalities and the voices of each municipality and being committed to that, that's at the core of how I am as an elected official and how I would be once elected.
You have a lot of opinions and strategies on how you would get to things. How do people find out that information and find out more about Deborah Warren?
Thank you for asking. VoteDebWarren.com is going to be the first stop for everybody. So that's VoteDebWarren.com. You can see links to our Facebook and our Instagram as well on there. But then we have an entire section of priorities that has more information and more detail, as well as things I accomplished as a city commissioner. It's got a lot more information about me and a contact me option. I, again, believe in the dialogue. Good. So anybody that has questions, that wants to talk, comments, please reach out to me directly.
Okay. Deborah Warren, thank you so much. We'll be doing election coverage Tuesday. We'll be trying to contact you then.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Deborah Warren running for the 87th District State House. We're going to go right into this thing. Our next guest is running for a seat, and we'll let him talk about it. His name is Ryan Roberts. I have to check my agenda to make sure. I don't know if we're related or not. But he is running for office. Let's get him in. Put your hands together for Mr. Ryan Roberts. How you doing, sir?
Hello. Thank you, gentlemen, for the opportunity to be here today. I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking. How are y'all doing?
We're doing well. Listen, man, we have roughly 17 minutes to get to know Ryan Roberts. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, yeah, my name is Ryan Roberts. I'm 37 years old. I grew up in West Michigan. In Lake County, little town called Baldwin and Idlewild. Mm-hmm. And I'm very proud of where I grew up from. It's one of the poorest counties in the state of Michigan, but a lot of great warriors have come out of that small little place called B-Town. Mm-hmm. I graduated from West Shore Community College and in Scottsville, Michigan, and in this district. And I've been in Michigan basically my whole life. Grew up in the Bible. My grandpa was a warrior for God and country, and my dad left when I was like 4 years old. My grandpa was my father figure, taught me a lot about what it is to be a real man, a real warrior for God and our country. And wanted to be a minister from an early age, but had a lot of questions about the Bible after graduating high school, and prayed for more wisdom, more understanding, more answers. And over the years, the Lord began to reveal a lot to me. And, you know, early in my 20s, I had stumbled on the wrong road, got on the bad path, got into dealing drugs and stuff like that, developed a criminal record. But the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit conviction pulled me off of that path. Mm-hmm. Through God's grace. And I've been fighting for the kingdom of light ever since, fighting to spread the truth, spread the gospel. And expose the deception that's going on in the world. I always loved learning, graduated at the top of my class, and I got a beautiful wife. We just celebrated our 4-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you, thank you. Combined, we have a total of 7 children from the ages of 1 all the way to 19. And my wife's oldest daughter, she just had a baby. So, you know, we're grandparents now.
So you took that go forth and multiply. You took that to heart.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Pastor Melvin Burns.
Ryan, tell us, what made you decide to get into this race?
Well, I've been studying politics for almost half my life, national and global politics, and past 4 or 5 years been focusing on state politics and getting involved more the past couple years than ever, taking action. And I was nominated and encouraged by a lot of people in our communities, in our district, who know me and know that I'm a fighter for what's right. Mm-hmm. And last year I was doing citizen journalism for the whole year, started a podcast and was starting to really take off, covering a lot of state news. And people across the state started encouraging me, other candidates, and it just continued to happen. So I prayed about it, and then I got in the race. So it's a lot going on, and we have to be involved. We have to be fighting and filling these positions. We can't leave it up to others or expect other people to take care of everything. It's our duty.
You're running in the 102nd district. Please tell us that district, and I believe you're running on the Republican side.
Yes, yes, sir. The 102nd district consists of Mason County, Oceana County, Manistee County, and I believe parts of the northern Muskegon counties. I'm not sure after redistricting how far south exactly it goes, but yep, it's a 3 county district, big district, and it's beautiful up here, and I love it. I was raised up here in this area and living here for a long time, so fighting for the community is something I've been involved in, and now just continuing to get more involved in it.
That's Burns.
Okay, so what is it like been out on the campaign trail? What things have you learned? What kind of comments are you getting from people?
I've learned a lot of things. A lot of us, you know, have the same concerns and desires, but I've learned how divisive the media is. The mainstream media, you know, people who still trust and believe in that have a totally different perspective than people who have awakened to the mainstream deception.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that really baffles me, and I want to figure out how we can address that more and more, because it's a deliberate and a diabolical effort to divide, deceive, distract, dumb down, and destroy the people. And, you know, the Bible tells us all about it. My main reason for being in this race is just spreading the truth, stepping up to the plate, inspiring people, and, you know, spreading the truth about the issues. I don't feel like I can lose, because I'm fighting for God, and I'm fighting for the truth, and I'm fighting for our country, whether I win or not. And so in Christ, we are already victorious, but my main message is just to spread the truth and to continue to fight against evil and corruption.
Now, looking at your website, you have a lot of ideas on situations and stuff. What would you say are the your top three or top five things that you would like to see accomplished?
Just to represent the people, represent the best the interests of the people to the best of my ability, to stand on biblical principles and spread the truth and expose a lot of the corruption and misdoings, wrongdoings in government. The Constitution was created to govern the government. It was meant to control them and restrain and restrict them and outline their duties. And we are the ones who are supposed to hold them accountable to whether they are following the Constitution or not. Mm-hmm. And sadly, majority of people aren't involved. So that's why the government gets away with so much stuff. They flip the government upside down to where instead of them serving us, we are serving them. Mm-hmm. And the mainstream media is bought and paid for, and they deliberately divide us. They deliberately deceive us, mislead us, misinform us. So the people who know the truth have to battle the people who are deceived by the lies. And it's just a form of dividing us. And, you know, with discernment and through guidance from God, you begin to get clarity and see what's going on. And just spreading the truth is so powerful. And, you know, people need to be exposed to it. A lot of people haven't been. And so, you know, it's power in the word of God. My main mission is to serve God, you know, and I want to serve the people and fight for my country and fight against this evil. It's a biblical duty. And we also have a constitutional duty. And whether we want to or not, it's a war going on, you know, spiritual war. And we got to be involved, and we got to get more and more people involved. And that's a big challenge that a lot of candidates don't address. You know, you get these different candidates talk about this and that. We need to get the youth involved. We need to get people who think this stuff is important, and we need to get them involved and seeing the importance. We need to recruit more and more people in this war, in this battle. Mm-hmm. And once they hear the truth, then they can make an informed decision on what side to stand on. But as long as they're being fed lies, then the enemy can divide us. It's a lot of good-hearted people who are being deceived and turned against one another and don't even know it, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Pastor Burns.
Yeah. Brian, the seat you're running for, is there an incumbent there now?
No, we have a senator who stepped down from his Senate position. Well, he's still a senator, but he's dropping into the House race.
Okay.
I have two opponents right now. One is a current senator, and the other one is he ran last primary election for the House race as well, but no incumbent.
Okay. So with a full slate of candidates, what's the thing people should remember when they're looking at those on Tuesday? What should they remember about Ryan Roberts that distinguishes you from the other candidates?
Well, one thing people know about me is that I'm a warrior for God. I won't sell out. A lot of candidates or people get into politics and have good intentions, and then when they get in Lansing when they make it in, they get swallowed up or sucked into the corruption, sucked right into the swamp, so to speak. And one thing I want people to remember, and people already know, is I won't sell out. I'll be a servant I'm a servant to God first and foremost, but I want to serve the people. And I know collectively we have the answers for our district. We know what's best for us. So we can figure it out together.
Ryan, you got the first question of the day. It says, do you think Black history should be taught in public schools? Is teaching Black history mistakenly being tied to critical race theory?
That's a great question. That's a great question. I definitely think Black history should be taught in schools. It's a important part of our history. And we've been through a lot of dark days, and we can't learn from our past. We can't avoid making the same mistakes if we don't learn from our past. And critical race theory is something that is being twisted. Like, you know, the devil likes to pervert that which is good, you know. So some things that people might have good intentions for, it can easily be twisted to serve a different agenda. I'm not pro critical race theory. I believe it teaches that Black people are inferior to white people. White people are superior. We are lesser. You know, it subtly can deceive people into thinking different things. Children are moldable. They like sponges, and they'll soak up whatever they're taught, whether it's good or bad. And a lot of bad stuff is being taught to our children. And, you know, more parents need to be involved to prevent that from happening.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking at your website as well, that you have a lot of solutions to a lot of questions that people might have. How do people find out more about Ryan Roberts?
I do podcasts. My last channel got deleted from YouTube because of censorship. But I have a podcast called Logic's View, L-O-G-I-K apostrophe S View. And like I said, I started out doing citizen journalism last year. My channel really, really started to rise up and blow up. And then I got censored and deleted. But my website, my campaign website, is www.voteforlogic.com, L-O-G-I-K. And that's a nickname that I have for the past 12, 13 years. I used to do gospel rap music. And that name, I prayed for rap alias back when I was doing that. And one night I woke up out of my sleep and that name was given to me. So it stuck with me, grew on me, and I've been utilizing it ever since. But voteforlogic.com is my website. My contact information is on there. If anyone would like to reach out, I love to communicate.
Pastor Burns.
Okay. I think Joe kind of touched on this. First, you go to when you're elected, if you're elected, you have to work with other factions, other people. Talk to us about being able to work with people with different interests different parties, different interests as a candidate.
I could see myself, we have to work with different types of people and with different beliefs and different perspectives and whatnot. Discovering, digging, and finding out what the intent or motives are behind people's agendas or perspectives or whatever is important. I there's certain things that I won't budge on, you know, when it comes to I'm pro-life, you know, this transgender stuff, you know, having like U of M has tampons in the men's restroom, a tampon dispenser. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of stuff that's radical, that's crazy, and that's just against God. And I won't support or endorse stuff that goes against my biblical principles. I pray about stuff, pray, ask for discernment, where to stand on which issues, especially controversial issues. And there's certain things I won't budge on, but of course I will look for opportunities to work together as much as possible. You know, I believe we can learn a lot from people who have different views and opinions. And it's important to hear people out. But like I say, there's certain issues I won't budge on.
It's the last couple of days of the campaign for the primary. I'm sitting home on the couch. Give me that best spiel why I should get out and vote for Ryan Roberts.
If you sitting on the couch right now, wondering if you should even get up and participate, I'm telling you to do so. You know, it's a battle going on, whether you're aware of it or not. It's forces, the Bible tells us, is wicked forces in high places, spiritual forces in high places. It's not against flesh and blood. We have to be involved whether we want to or not. If you do your research, check these candidates out. So see which ones resonate with you, which ones hit your heart, and get out here and vote. People died for us to have a right to vote, and we need to exercise that right. And you can't sit back and complain about the problems if you're not even participating in the election process. So do a little research, do a little homework. It's a small price to pay for our freedoms, and get out and don't just take what people say. Look into their actions. Look into their track records. Everything that glitters is not gold. But please participate in this voting process and get out and support good candidates.
Mr. Roberts, we want to thank you for today. We're going to be doing election coverage Tuesday. We'll be looking for you for that last second push.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. And it's an honor to be on your show. This is my first time getting wind of it, but it's exciting to see people not even far from here. And I definitely want to connect with you guys more in the future moving forward.
All right. Count on it. You take care. God bless. Have a great weekend.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Ryan. Take care.
That's Ryan Roberts running for the, I believe, the 102nd. District. So we got him on. Next coming up is Jason D. Kokomo. And again, we want to get these candidates to let them get as much time on. Put your hands together, Muskegon, for Mr. Jason D. Kokomo. How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You are running for what?
Circuit Court, Judge Marietti's seat.
Okay. All right. So why don't you tell Muskegon a little bit about Jason Kokomo?
Sure. I'm born and raised here in Muskegon. My parents lived on Terrace Street when I was born. When I was about 1 or 2 years old, they moved to Fruitport. I'm one of seven children, pretty big family. And my mom is like one of nine. I think her mom was one of 13. Basically, they're all from Muskegon. And I mean, some of my siblings live elsewhere. I have two sisters in California, one sister in Wisconsin. But graduated from Fruitport in 1989, went to Michigan State, left Fruitport when I was 18, went to Michigan State, then law school in Detroit Mercy. And then after law school, I worked for Dave Bowen. And from there, I got a job out in Lansing doing municipal defense work, representing cities, counties, and townships whenever you sue them for pretty much the various things that you sue them for. You can only sue them for certain things because of governmental immunity. Mm-hmm. So that job made me somewhat of an expert in governmental immunity, qualified immunity at the federal level. Practiced a lot. About half my cases were in federal court. Done jury trials in federal court. Usually doing jury trials, it was always in an excessive force case. But also did zoning. There were a lot of bench trials when it comes down to zoning issues. Became a special ed hearing officer. My firstborn son was diagnosed with autism, and so kind of had to advocate for him with East Lansing Public Schools. And then I started advocating for other parents on special ed cases, had a pretty significant case that went to the Sixth Circuit. That's right under the U.S. Supreme Court. Sixth Circuit governs Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee. But it was a neighborhood school issue, resulted in a published opinion. Shortly after that, I became a special ed hearing officer, receiving case assignments through the Department of Education when there's disputes between school districts and parents of special needs children. Beyond that, that system changed. I stopped doing it about 2008, I think was the last year, because the system changed. We went from hearing officers to administrative law judges. About 2013, I got divorced and moved back to Muskegon to start my own practice. And that's where I'm at right now. Now I just represent general practice, represent regular people.
Okay, Pastor Burns.
Yeah. Jason, what made you decide to throw your hat in this race for judge?
Well, I had a lot of good experience, very diverse set of practice areas. Over the last 10 years, I've done a lot more criminal, although I've had criminal cases all throughout my professional career. I've been practicing law since the time I was 25. I'm now 51. But for all 25 years, almost 26 years, I've always done civil work. And I think that that is important because, you know, when you look at other counties throughout the state, most judges come up through the ranks on the criminal side of things, like as former prosecutors or public defenders. And when that happens too much, I mean, prosecutors and public defenders don't really have great opportunities to apply rules of civil procedure, which relates to the non-criminal stuff. And when that happens too much, it results in some deficit of knowledge on the depth of the bench as a whole. So, you know, it's we have had judges with a lot of civil experience. Judge Hicks was one of them, was probably the one that comes to mind most. But I do believe that there is we're in need of a judge with substantial civil experience. And my background kind of encompasses things from personal injury, quiet title, breach of contract, injunctions, actions to obey the public nuisance, constitutional issues, First Amendment challenges, for example, challenging ordinances on the basis of the First Amendment, to employment law, Whistleblower Protection Act, Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act, even special education. So I'm well aware of both federal law and Michigan law, and spent a good chunk of practice in the federal courts, as well as the appellate courts. I would usually take cases top to bottom, which means I'd be assigned the case, have to draft an answer, go through discovery, and if there's appeal, I would handle the appeal. And I've been to the Michigan Court of Appeals about like 17, 18 times, Sixth Circuit about 8 times. And once, I think, to the Michigan Supreme Court. Never been to the U.S. Supreme Court, though.
You get the second question of the day. Hey, Benita, how you doing? It says, what would you say is your specialty of practicing law?
Yeah. I would say that it relates more to real estate and personal injury type of cases. Real estate, you know, ever since practicing here in 1996, I worked for Dave Bowen, and he did a lot of like construction liens, you know, condo development, business corporations, civil litigation. And, you know, I kind of continued that path even beyond David Bowen. You know, I would have zoning cases, as I mentioned, and takings without just compensation. I would, you know, always have the opportunity to defend the city, county, or township through my prior job. And even to this day, I do liquor licenses, I do quiet title actions, I do deeds. You know, I would say, generally speaking, if I had to name one area, it would be property, and then a close second would be personal injury causes of action.
Now, your seat is different because it's not partisan. It's a judgeship. What do you feel makes a good qualified judge?
Well, I think that you have to be able to trust them. Trust is the key. You know, the law is pretty complex. You have, obviously, the Constitution up at the top, and that's paramount. Is following the Constitution. any of the statutes, things that the Michigan legislature comes up for, different statutes to address different areas. And then you have at the very bottom, the common law, things that have developed throughout history, like the standards of negligence, the standards of slander, defenses like open and obvious, just things that developed in the case law for hundreds of years, essentially. So it's complex stuff. Sometimes the Michigan legislature gets it wrong. Sometimes they pass laws that are unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have a solid understanding of the law. I think that what the people are looking for is a person that is smart, educated, experienced, with the right background that they can trust to fairly mm-hmm. implement the law, because the law is so complex.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns.
Yeah, running for judge is so different because, while the other elected officials, they want people to talk to them. Once you're a judge, nobody wants to see you. But what kind of feedback do you get when you're campaigning as far as, people, they have criticisms of the court, or what do you hear from folks?
I would say that it's very difficult for people to make that transition from the Democrat-Republican thing to the nonpartisan stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's this battle of ideas out there as to what should be incorporated as a law. Mm-hmm. Should forced vaccines be a law? Should they or should they not? Should masks be a law? Should the speed limit be 65? And judges don't really deal with any of that.
Mm-hmm.
They left the process, that's the legislature and the executive, with mm-hmm. Democrats, whoever's in charge, and the pendulum swings mm-hmm. back and forth. But they let that duke it out. They duke it out in the legislature and the executive, and the judge just implements what they have agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
But there's for every statute that they pass, there's a purpose behind it, and you have to look at where you're at in the code. The MCL's Michigan compiled law is very voluminous, and some sections relate to the structure of government, others relate to environmental issues, some are criminal. There's a criminal code. You find that in section 750. There's property provisions out in 566. It's very complex, but you got to kind of see where you're at in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the statutes. You also have to pay attention to the case law governing those statutes, as well as the constitutional framework and the common law. Common law is very
important too. I see. Even the state Supreme Court, how they rule on things and stuff like that. Just look at the slip and fall law. Jeepers creepers. They get that wrong. But I bring that up is that a lot of people, when they're voting Republican and Democrat, and they don't turn that page over and vote on judgeships. How important, if people turn that page and look at that incumbent or look at the judge and vote on judges, because a lot of people will not do that.
I would agree that, at least when you look at this election on Tuesday is a primary election. So, it doesn't get as many people out to the polls as a general election. There's some differences between an off-year election. I guess this would be considered an off-year election, not a presidential election, but the off-year the governor's running. If you look at the ballot, you'll see that, the governor isn't running against anybody. And you have to pick a side. You have to vote Republican or Democrat. But just because you're voting Democrat or Republican doesn't mean that you can't go down to the bottom of the ballot to pick a judge.
Mm-hmm.
Not as many people vote in the judicial section. I can't remember the numbers exactly, but there is about 26,000 in the last primary that voted for judge. That would be 2020. Roughly about 25, 26. But there were more people that showed up to vote, but not all of them voted for the nonpartisan stuff.
Okay, so we're getting close to that time. Talk about the top three things that you want to do, and then I want to talk about your webpage, because if people want to know more about Jason Kokoma, they can find it there.
Okay. Well, I think the number one thing as a judge is number one obligation would be affording due process. Now, due process is this notice and opportunity to be heard. And, you know, that's incredibly important, not just from a procedural standpoint in terms of how the system works and hearing a motion or setting it up for trial, but, you know, having somebody who is familiar with life experiences and the trials and tribulations of people, what the things they go through. And as you know, people are very diverse, very diverse. They have different beliefs. They have different socioeconomic status, jobs, things of that nature. And oftentimes, you know, the wealthy don't have a full understanding of what it's like to be poor or deal with all sorts of issues. You know, and I do believe that it is important to have a judge with some life experiences that are typical people that are coming in the court, whatever that may be. So I think that listening and, you know, if I could, you know, outside of that due process type of issues, I would say electronic filing would be something I would strongly advocate for. A lot of this in the direction of the Board of Commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
We have a certain type of electronic filing system, and there are others that our system could compete with. But, you know, I would like to see one of these days records become fully accessible from my computer, any records. I mean, I can't really look up a complaint from home. No, I can look up. I would like to see the same thing with deeds because they're public documents. I mean, they should be to everybody. And I can do that because I'm a member of Muskegon County Bar Association. I can look up and get the deeds in Muskegon County. But sometimes I got a case out in Ottawa County and I'm not a member there. So I have to pay for it. You know, but I think that expanding information systems would be a nice step in the right direction. Outside of that, I don't know what a close third would be. I'm sure that there's something on my agenda, but you know, I think, you know, basically treating people right.
That's my last question to you.
Yeah, Jason, again, there's a number of people, candidates we know that are running for this judgeship. What do you think distinguishes you when folks are trying to decide? I see these people and a judge is not endorsed by parties. What should be about your name that stands out to make folks choose you?
Well, the first thing would be that I'm born and raised here. In my race for Judge Marietti's seat, I am the only candidate from Muskegon, born and raised here. I think that is important because it gives me a better understanding of Muskegon, its history, its culture, standards, values. You know, I have family that's been in this county for over 100 years on three sides. You know, my grandparents great grandparents owned Shellacky Market, which was, I mean, it was gone by the time I was born. But a lot of old timers kind of remember that. And, you know, so, you know, having an understanding of Muskegon, a deep understanding, I think is very important because culture, you know, I studied anthropology in undergrad. And, you know, even though we're in America, it's generally the same culture, there are significant variations between Muskegon and how they do things in Ottawa County, for example. You know, and so having that understanding, I think that it's good to step foot outside of Muskegon County, because when you do step foot outside of Muskegon, you begin to realize, oh, well, you know, an arraignment, a pretrial, and a plea can all be done in the same day. Here in Muskegon, it's three separate days, three separate hearings. And I know that because that's how they do things in Ottawa County. Mm-hmm. So I think the, you know, the diverse, and the other thing would be the diverse background. You know, an attorney that knows about criminal law as well as the civil stuff. And not just the civil stuff, but personal injury, breach of contract, quiet type or property type of issues. All very important.
How tough has it been in the country or a state or a city where politics are so divided and you have to explain to people, I'm running for a judgeship and all this bickering, I have to be in this role?
Yeah, I don't think it's that difficult. I mean, I kind of just make fun of both parties, frankly. I mean, I'm not a big fan of this two-party system. I'm not a big fan of the divisiveness. You know, it seems like it's a race to the bottom. Just when you think that one side, and I'm not blaming one party or another here, mm-hmm. there's some tit for tat. You know, mm-hmm. as that pendulum swings and somebody gets in charge, it seems like there's one party gets in charge, it seems like there's a lot of retaliation. And just when you think that they couldn't go any lower, they do something to amaze you and go lower.
Yep.
I give you several examples, but I'm sure that you know what I'm talking about.
I do. Mm-hmm. Okay. You have a lot of information on your site. How do people get in touch with you?
Well, my website, I do have a website. It's, you know, frankly, it's being revised right now, but there's some general information there. I'm on LinkedIn. I think that, there's a lot of information there. Frankly, I think that you can Google me if you want to see the type of cases that I've dealt with in the past. And many of them have resulted in published opinions. These are issues related to excessive force or police cases, a lot of property cases, statutes like Freedom of Information Act or Open Meetings Act, very, you know, a whole bunch of diverse areas. But I think that if you just Googled me, you'd probably find the best information. But I'm very active on Facebook and, okay. You know, Instagram, not so much. I'm on TikTok, Snapchat, but don't use them as really a forum. Probably the most information I disseminate is through Facebook, but all of my campaign pages, my website is www.kokomaforjudge4. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with regard to Facebook, Kokomaforjudge4. Instagram is Kokomaforjudge4. Even my money raising, Cash App, Venmo, and PayPal are all Kokomaforjudge4.
Okay. Jason D. Kokoma, we want to thank you. Good luck in your race. And we'll be doing election coverage Tuesday. We look forward to hopefully talking to you then.
Oh, I look forward to it.
Thank you, Jason.
All right, thank you guys very much. I'd like to thank the station. It's been a great opportunity. And I appreciate what you guys are doing to, you know, there's not a lot of stations doing this. And this is a significant election where there's very fine candidates in both my seat running for my seat as well as this new judgeship. And it's a good opportunity for the people in Muskegon because they're going to get two new judges.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
That was Jason D. Kokoma. Pastor Melvin Burns, now it comes down to this. It's who's going to get out and vote for you. We have done our job, the only radio station that turns off the music to get people out there to vote, to be an educated voter. What do you say in this last minute?
Hey, this is last weekend. If you are a candidate, put on that last pair of shoes that aren't worn out, hit the streets, you know, you never know. So you got one last big weekend to get out there. If you are a potential voter, you got a weekend to educate yourself. Go to some web pages, go to make some phone calls if you need to, read some literature, But you got a good full weekend to inform yourself before Tuesday.
I couldn't say it any better than you did. Okay, we'll see you Tuesday for election coverage. Stay tuned. We're going to be here all night Tuesday. Other than that, this has been Torn in Two. Thank you to my host, Pastor Melvin Burns. Listen, go sow a seed in somebody's life. Thank you, Benita. But go sow a seed in somebody's life and have a good weekend. Take care and God bless.
All right.